DW Africa Link.
Let's talk about people living with autism, specifically across Nigeria, where the largest coordinated autism screening event in the history of the country is happening. In a country where autism perception is heavily influenced by cultural and religious beliefs, what does this nationwide awareness mean? Stay tuned for more on that. This is Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that matter. And I am Ajua Tinkrama Domina, your host for today.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Globally, one in 127 people is diagnosed with autism, a lifelong neurodevelopmental condition affecting social interaction, communication, and behavior. And that's according to the World Health Organization. Autism is among the top 10 brain health conditions contributing to health loss globally. To encourage autism awareness, April 2nd is commemorated as World Autism Day annually. And this year, Nigeria is doing something different. Dubbed Spark a Spectrum of Possibilities 2026, the nationwide campaign across almost all 36 states will offer free screenings and consultations in teaching hospitals, community centers, and schools, aimed at improving early diagnosis and support for thousands of children. Let's get right into it. And Maria Okafor, autism awareness campaigner and founder of RBM Autism Foundation, has joined us. Also joining me now is DW's Kunle Babs in Nigeria. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the show. Maria, let's talk about autism. What is it and what is it not?
Thank you very much. Autism, or autism spectrum disorder, is a neurodevelopmental condition. Basically affects the way a person communicates. I like to say it's a different way of being. So the way an individual communicates, interacts with others, or how they experience the world. And of course, it's a spectrum. So there's no just one particular symptom of autism. It presents itself differently in different individuals. It's not as a result of anything spiritual. It's a neurodevelopmental condition.
How far has Nigeria come in terms of, well, not just the awareness, but the acceptance of it as well? How far has the country come?
You know, I founded RBM in 2021. And when I started, there was not really a lot of awareness around the spectrum. However, right now, I would say that the awareness has grown. Advocacy has also grown. But there's still so much work to be done in that regard. But like, people are becoming more aware. People are becoming more cautious about it. So I would say before, people didn't really know what it was. People gave it other names. Right now, people know about autism, but may not know so much about it in detail. So they may be aware of the condition, but they may not be aware of the detail. So while awareness has grown, there's still so much to be done for the autistic community.
Let's stay a bit longer on the awareness. Maria, thank you. Kunle, I'm coming to you now. You've been speaking to a lot of Nigerians about autism. What have you gathered so far in terms of how knowledgeable Nigerians are on the subject of autism?
Yes, thank you very much. Yeah, so I have been speaking to, you know, a cross-section of Nigerians, and I want to talk about specifically two mothers. One of them have a 16-year-old autistic child, and the other have two children, age 4 and 3, two autistic children, age 4 and 3. You know, despite their different situation, their experiences are very similar. One of the biggest challenges they shared with me is the lack of inclusion. They talk about the fact that there are very few schools within the country with trained special needs teachers who can, you know, properly support children on the spectrum. And they also talk about, you know, lack of resources, infrastructure, you know, from therapy services to learning supports, which makes, you know, daily care much more difficult. And of course, one of them went on and on about cost. She said even when she found, you know, specialized centers that can support, she was not able to afford, you know, those kind of centers. So overall, I would say it's a mix of, you know, limited access, high cost, and a system that is not, you know, fully equipped to support children with special needs, especially autism in this case.
Thank you for that. And Maria has also given us, you know, in terms of the awareness and the acceptance of it, how far the country has come. Maria, we hear that Nigeria is organizing the largest autism screening campaign. That sounds to me like a lot of progress for a campaign that is hitting nearly all the 36 states of the country. Tell us about it.
It's a step in the right direction. And of course, I think it's a product of organizations such as RBM, you know, laying the groundwork for advocacy and awareness. And, you know, Nigeria has gotten to the point where it cannot be ignored anymore. And finally, we're doing something about this. So this largest autism screening campaign is really good because even though people know about autism, a lot of people don't know that they may be on the spectrum. So I like that this campaign addresses some of the things that we've been pushing for the longest time, which is early diagnosis, you know, letting people come to the understanding of the importance of early diagnosis. And awareness has really just gotten to the point where it's no longer possible for anyone to look away. And I think that is what birthed this campaign. And it's something I'm really excited about.
Mm. Is this campaign backed by the state?
I believe that there may be state actors, but I think it's largely organizations, you know, like RBM, civil society organizations, and people just coming together. So there may be, you know, little elements of state support here and there. But I think the initiative was born out of, you know, nonprofit organizations.
You talk about people being on the spectrum without perhaps not even knowing. How Yes. do you know if you are on the autistic spectrum?
There's medical evaluations and then there's the assessment. So, well, I'm not a medical doctor, so I can't really speak to that, but I'll tell you how we do it at my center. So whenever we are approached by a family that has the suspicions that their child may be on the spectrum, we send them, you know, to the hospital, to doctors. We are in collaboration with some very enlightened hospitals and they help facilitate these evaluations. So there's the evaluations the doctors do. And then afterwards, when the result or the report is done, they come back. So the medical evaluation is what actually determines the autism. Then now the assessment determines the level or the level of autism or the severeness of how it presents itself in an individual. And that's done by autism assessment. These assessments are carried out by a multidisciplinary team of professionals such as therapists, doctors, and sometimes even, you know, physiotherapists. So they do the assessments, and then from the assessment reports, IEPs are drawn up. And then the IEPs are individualized education plans, and they basically just spell out how the intervention is going to take place. So to answer the question in summary, it's, you know, the way to know if you are on the spectrum is submitting yourself to a medical evaluation and then an assessment.
We hear a lot, early detection saves lives in application yeah. to a lot of diseases. Does this also apply to the disorder of autism?
Of course, definitely. You know, I said earlier that early diagnosis is something that we preach because there's so much that can be done when a person is aware. And you have, sometimes you have an individual start at one end of the spectrum and move to the other end of the spectrum. So the whole point of intervention is not necessarily to cure autism, but to provide intervention for each individual to thrive or to be successful, regardless of the condition. So early diagnosis, what that does is that there are things that can be corrected as soon as they are identified or they are realized. So you have a child on the spectrum and their parents are prudent enough to do the whole evaluation and get the diagnosis sorted. Immediately the child can start therapy. Immediately the child can start intervention. And, you know, because, I mean, it's the brain is very malleable when you are a child. So there are things that can be corrected. There are interventions that can take place that can help the child live a very, very, you know, productive and successful lifestyle. So that's really what early diagnosis does.
In all of your years of activism in autism. What has surprised you the most about the awareness, about people dealing with it, you know, about perceptions and all of that? What surprises you the most?
Well, I think, to be fair, I've seen a whole lot of surprising things. I think it's the fact that people don't really take it seriously. For other conditions that are, you know, you can physically see the problem or the challenge, you know, they get a whole lot more attention than neurodevelopmental conditions. So with neurodevelopmental conditions, you have to explain and explain and explain why it should be taken seriously. And most times people, you know, people on the spectrum may not even present, you know, they may not, it may not affect them physically. So you really have to explain to people that while it may not show physically, there's the whole mental or neurodevelopmental parts there. And, you know, it's just very difficult to get people on board to what they cannot tie down to a particular label or a particular idea, a particular concept. So, you know, malaria presents itself in one way most times. Autism doesn't. So it's really hard to get people's attention long enough to see why this is important, because you may say, okay, this child is on the spectrum. Oh, but he's talking. You know, he's meeting his milestones. So why should I bother? So I think that is one of the things that really surprises me. So you see it in families, and it's not just in one way. You see it across board. So in families, in the society, even in the way the government and, you know, other parastatals treat this thing, the attention they give to it, this is something that has just really surprised me the most.
You think stakeholders don't, you know, pay enough attention to it?
Yes. Because they can't, you know, it can't really be boxed in because of the nature of the condition, it being a spectrum.
What would you have the government, for instance, do differently in terms of tackling autism that they are not doing?
Number one is to inclusion from healthcare to education to everything, really. So the government, they need to be very, very deliberate about catering for the members of this community. I know that there's the Disability Act and a whole lot of other very good initiatives, but then autism is really, really unique. And I would want policies around this condition, friendly policies around this condition, health insurance schemes. Do you know that in some jurisdictions, autism is, you know, is covered by health insurance? So it kind of buffers the financial responsibility on families. We would love the government to be very, very much deliberate about catering for these communities by preaching inclusion. So they should be mindful that these people exist, and then create a society where they are not ostracized, a society that basically accepts them. And in healthcare, in inclusion, policies, you know, framing healthcare, for healthcare inclusion, educational inclusion, and even in the workplace, there are some workspaces that are so discriminatory that they don't even employ members of this community. So we need them to get on board with policies and laws.
There's an element of cost in treatment that you both have hinted at various parts of this discussion. So I'd just like us to tackle that briefly. How does the cost of treatment, the cost of diagnosis, the cost of, you know, keeping an autistic child, how does it affect how families, you know, even deal with autism, even taking their ward to the hospital to get screened for it and all of that? Maria, how does cost affect autism treatment?
That's a very, very important question. And thank you so much for asking that. Cost is very, very important. I would like to tell you a story, if you don't mind. Last year, when we opened our center, we launched with a 2 weeks free autism screening and consultation for families. And so people could just come in if they had their suspicions. We could help screen and assess their children for free. And what followed after that was conversations for, you know, children that, and we found out that they were on the spectrum, was, okay, this is the intervention plan. This is how we think you could go about this. And I remember expressly what a mother told me, I've not finished paying my house rent. I'll be paying for this one. And, you know, that just, I mean, it sounded it came off to me, you know, in a wrong way. But then that's the reality of most parents. That's the reality of most Nigerians. That's what they have to face. So the resources are so scarce. They every time they are trying to prioritize, okay, which one do I do? And I think that's even one of the reasons why sometimes people are just in denial, because they know that if I address this, there's the whole financial implication that comes with this. So, you know, the cost looks like getting good doctors, running series of medical examinations, buying some supplements as well, like some drugs, the cost of therapy, occupational, speech, behavioral. And then, of course, sometimes even going as far as needing like a physiotherapist and so many other multidisciplinary professionals, it is not friendly to those who are low income earners. And, you know, sometimes we try our own best in our organization to provide concessions here and there for some families, but there's really so much we can do. And that's why the government needs to get involved. You know, key stakeholders need to get involved. If this was covered by insurance, I'm sure, you know, that could really go a long way to helping a whole lot of families. So the cost is, and another reason why the cost is so high, behavioral therapists, occupational therapists, speech therapists, they're not exactly in their numbers in the country. They're not a lot. So The ones you find, their price tags are really high. So it's really, you know, cost is central to most of this. And I think truly, I don't know of any parents that would have the resources and not want to provide that for their child to be better. And that's why the government actually needs to get involved to help mitigate this situation.
You know what's interesting? You know, the questions I've asked, this is the one that you have really spoken your heart out. It feels to me that... the cost really matters to you. And I frankly like that, because the more accessible healthcare becomes, the more healthier a nation is. So thank you for that. Kunle, is there an indication that the government is serious or has plans on at least including autism treatment on the national health insurance or making it free?
Thank you very much. You know, the interesting thing is that when you talk to a government official, they'll tell you, yes, of course, they are willing to do whatever it takes to ensure that children with special needs get what they need. But what I've seen is that there's a lot of lip service. So we need to move from lip service to real policy implementation. You know, Nigeria, you know, already has laws that support inclusion for children with special needs. But in actual practice, you don't see it. Schools are not equipped, even public schools. Private schools who say they want to do it will not do exactly what they said they are doing, and there's no supervision from government, so enforcement is also very weak. And the issue of, you know, training more specialists, you know, having good therapies, have special education teachers, all of these are not there because government is not strengthening. So government needs to move from, you know, from lip service to actual policy implementation. We have to have some kind of political will from the government to say, okay, we're going to ensure that every child in Nigeria who has some kind of special needs, be it autism, be it Down syndrome, whatever it is, we're going to ensure that our schools have specialized teachers, have the right facility, have the right infrastructure. That way, you can now say that, yes, the government is serious about it. Also, you see, this awareness. Government has the highest responsibility. I know the NGOs like RDM are trying their best, but government has the biggest responsibility in public awareness at community level. I mentioned earlier that if you go to local communities in Nigeria, not urban cities, people don't even understand what is autism. When they see a child showing some signs, they rather take the child to a church or a mosque. So these are all things that government can do. And also, of course, in terms of funding, I believe that if government also, you know, put in more funding into, you know, if we have consistent funding, our health institutions will be stronger. You know, and policies, when they are implemented, will bring a long-lasting solution to the issue of taking care of special needs children in Nigeria.
We understand there is a 16-year-old autistic Guinness World Record holder who is cycling some 500 kilometers from Enugu to Lagos as part of, you know, the day's activities. What can you tell us about it?
So the young 16-year-old boy, his name is Kanye Yachuku Tago Keke, and is leading the cross-country cycling campaign from the southeastern part of the country to the southwest. So it's from Enugu in the southeast to Lagos in the southwest. And it's all for raising awareness and, you know, also reaching local communities. You know, most of the awareness that is prominent now is mostly in the urban areas, mostly on social media, mostly on people who have access to, you know, TV and phones. But there are people in local areas who don't even have any understanding of what autism is. They probably think it's, at any point, if they have a child that has delay in speech, they'll think it's some kind of spiritual attack or something. So I think what Kanye, who is autistic himself, what he's doing now is to ride a bicycle through the rural part of the country into urban cities. And in all of this, at every point, they take a break, they create the awareness, they talk about early detection for autism, let parents understand that it's not a bad thing. An autistic child can also live a, you know, a regular life if the symptoms are caught early and treatment is being done as early as possible. It's interesting because Kanye Chukwu himself is autistic and his situation was caught early and his parents were able to manage it. I don't know if you're aware, but last year he won the Guinness World Record for painting the largest canvas in the world. Yeah, so it just shows that even if a child is autistic, there is no limitations to what they can achieve. And I think he, doing the bicycle campaign, it will help to create better awareness about autism.
That is a very, very, you know, constructive and positive point you make there, that indeed, even if your child is autistic, there's no limitation really on what they can achieve. So, Kule, thank you so much for that. Maria, let me come back to you. After this campaign, this Pack a Spectrum of Possibilities 2026 campaign, what do you hope to see changed in how Nigerians perceive autism?
Well, I would hope that people understand that it is not a disability. It's a condition that if, you know, if managed and if people get the correct intervention, every single thing is possible. And like Mr. Kunle has said, you know, Kanye is a very, very inspirational example as to how impossibility is truly a myth. I would hope that Nigerians can see that the members of this autistic community, they carry so much potential. They carry so much possibilities. And I would hope that they would support the members of this community. They would not ostracize them. All the myths and all the misconceptions will be dispelled and people will just be more enlightened and open-minded.
Very well. Thank you so much for speaking to us. Kunle Bass is DW correspondent in Abuja, Nigeria. You also heard earlier Maria Okafor. She's an autism awareness campaigner. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having us on the show.
Thank you so much for having us.
In Nigeria, the perception of autism is not far from many African communities where the condition is grossly misconceived.
I believe there's still a significant lack of awareness. Unfortunately, due to social stigma, many parents and guardians may feel hesitant to bring their children into public spaces. They are not treated fairly. If you look around our society, you rarely see autistic children integrated into everyday activities. They are often segregated or treated in isolation, which I believe needs to change.
It's not a spiritual problem. It's purely medical issues, not a spiritual thing. So I think there's still need for more awareness so that people can understand it better and know that, you know, there are, you know, solutions. There's a way you can handle this challenge when it's, you know, when kids are affected or adults are affected by it.
I don't think there's as much awareness as there should be in terms of maybe how to interact with autistic children, what causes it, or how to care for them in general. So there might be, but I don't think it's enough. Parents tend to hide their children. Some parents, I would say, they are not really out there like that because I feel that they are a bit scared about how the children would behave and how people would respond to them whenever they act out in public.
The 2026 World Autism Day is on the theme Autism and Humanity. every life has value. Although not curable, autism is not a life condemnation. That's one thing that people must understand. Many people with autism have managed to brave every storm and have had an influence on their world positively. One example is Guinness World Record holder Kanyiachukwu Tabokeke. He's a 16-year-old autism advocate in Abuja, and he's promoting awareness and inclusion of the condition. What stories about autism touch your heart the most that you would like to share with us? Share those stories with us on Facebook and on TikTok at DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast. And while you're here, remember to subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Eddie Micah Jr. And I am Ajua Tinkrama Domina. Thanks for listening.
DW. Made for Minds.